Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Morning, DA. How are you?
Good morning, my neighbor!
Get off!
Damon Amendola.
Yes, how are you?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, buddy.
Baby, it's a brand new day. Ain't no clouds hanging over me. Something doesn't feel the same. The rest of my life gonna start today. Good morning.
Let the big dog eat.
DA, great question.
All aboard the dog.
This is why you do what you do. Yo.
Somebody stop me.
I'm coming to you to be fat. Let me be fat.
Look it.
There's so many sickos in this country.
This is facts.
A little more juice.
What?
I am broken.
Good morning.
CBS Sports Radio.
Well, as I was saying, I was listening to the radio. I heard something.
And what did you hear?
A hissing sound like this.
Hey, DA. Let me aboard that mothership.
Permission to board that mothership, sir.
Well, you know I had to slide through the intergalactic swag party.
DA, man, beam me up.
What's going on, my brother from another mother? Beam me up.
You guys are the best.
You guys make it.
Permission to board that
mothership. What's up, DA, brother?
Mothership has connected.
And you the man, DA.
Monday morning, North America. Welcome back from the weekend. The mothership reconnects. Welcome aboard our sports spaceship expanding across the universe. Conferences be damned, live from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City. Heard at affiliates nationwide and north of the border. The free Odyssey app, the CBS Sports app, SiriusXM. Channel 158 from Anchorage to Atlanta. Can't stress that enough. From Corvallis to Chicago, Kalamazoo, and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, DA. Everything we saying, DA. Everything.
Anchorage to Alaska, as Pete reminds me, is where we began on Friday. Today we have expanded our horizons and now actually going coast to coast. It is Bogus with you once again. This is not a vacation. This is not a summer Monday. This is not paternity leave. Damon is getting the temporary boost to the biggest of chairs here at CBS Sports Radio. He'll be in this seat later today hosting the Jim Rome show.
Full on nude.
Today, I cannot confirm. It might be good for ratings on CBS Sports Network. Tune in 6 hours from now. That's today through Thursday. Then we get a summer Friday. So you've got me all week. Today we have spun the wheel of characters and we have landed on Pete the Body Bellotti in his usual chair. Pat Boyle is to my left. He's got your updates and your update on professional butt slapping from Vegas.
I think my butt getting big.
And Ryan Betcher debuts in the producer's chair. Ryan has been crushing it on the wheels of steel when Pete is here or doesn't want to work and makes up interviews to do.
I'll relax.
Ryan has stepped in and crushed it. And Pete, because he's going to take credit for Ryan, now bumps Ryan up to the producer chair, I believe, for all 5 days this week. And
that's correct.
Even before this show begins, Ryan delivers again. If you've been listening along all summer, you've known that Ryan, when he shows up, is always in a high-quality T-shirt. Today I look over, it's Metallica. It smells of new cotton. I go, is that a fresh Metallica shirt? It is. He was at MetLife Stadium last night, not Saturday, not Friday,
last night at the Meadowlands rocking out to Metallica, and then he shows up here. The voice you just heard, Pete the Body Bellotti, infamous for taking at least 48 hours off after a Sunday night wrestling event. But whoa, here's Boetcher right out of the gate from the Meadowlands to here to produce this show. He continues to amaze.
And it's Boetcher.
What did I call him? Boetcher?
Boetcher. It's German. It's close enough. I am tired, though, so.
Either way, Ryan Boetcher is here, and I'm very excited about that. Also here today, intern Brooke, who I was introduced to this morning as if she was new. That threw me for a loop. I wasn't sure if I was calling her the wrong name all summer or what kind of time warp we were in, but Brooke is not new. In fact, Brooke is almost done, so meet her while you can. So we've got a lot to do, as always, this morning, coming off a very busy weekend. You may remember one of the last things we talked about on Friday morning was maybe the Pac-12 has life. Yeah, that lasted for about 17 minutes. The Pac-12 is basically gone. We will do a lot on expansion throughout the morning, including Tyson Alger from the I-5 Corridor. He writes for that website now, formerly of The Athletic, covers Oregon, the Ducks, Oregon sports as a whole. He's on the show in hour number four. Is Jordan Love struggling at Packers camp? We'll figure that out with the help of our good friend Adam Schein this morning. Not live on the show, but he flipped out on a CBS Sports Network show last week, and that led to a lot of reaction in and out of Green Bay. So that's coming up this morning as well. Carson Wentz posts one of the saddest pictures ever. Of course, we'll do that this morning. Maybe the Angels should have listened to us and traded Shohei Ohtani, and the Lakers extend Anthony Davis. But as I sit here right now, if it was not monsooning in New York, there would be World Cup soccer on our TV screens in the studio. Instead, there is the please come back soon DirecTV message. We have no satellite system. But as that tourney continues down under, it does not have Team USA in it. Maybe that's how you woke up yesterday. It is definitely where we begin today. It's your cold open.
Lena Hurtig, who has hurt the U.S. before in a run-up play, has a chance to put them out of the World Cup. If she scores, Sweden wins, the U.S. is out. If not, another round. Hurtig! Off there! Did it go in? Waiting on a signal. Wow. Sweden wins.
Sometimes you learn the most from your failures, which sucks, but it's part of my career as well. And unfortunately, this is my last time in this crest, so I'm excited for them in the future.
Yeah, it's a tough one, and there's just some dark comedy in me missing a penalty in my last game ever. So, I mean, that's a sick joke. That's just like, yeah.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
In reverse order, you just heard Megan Rapinoe, Julie Ertz, and then JP Della Camera on Fox calling that remarkable end to U.S.-Sweden, I guess 23, 22 hours ago. I woke up as the second half was ending, extra time begins, and then the PKs, and it was a lot to go through to process before 8 a.m. on a Sunday morning. This has been a controversial, a disappointing, a confusing World Cup for Team USA, but they seem to have figured things out against Sweden, except for the scoring part. They played their best match of this event, as you know by now. Could have won multiple times in regulation, maybe a time or two in that extra time, but the Swedish goaltender Musovic just kept turning them away. And then PKs, they get the two misses, one miss, one save. They've got multiple chances to put it this way and move on. Three missed PKs then from the USA. Finally, Sweden converts. An all-time review. I mean, just remarkable across the board that Alyssa Nair touched it to begin with, then almost knocked it off the goal line. And that review, as delayed as it was being shown to us, and I couldn't figure out if Fox controls all of that or if the world feed controls all of that, who actually gets blamed for the slow showing of the replay. But we finally got that graphic from the VAR of that soccer ball by, I don't know, millimeters, tenths of millimeters, just over the goal line, making it good, making Sweden win, and sending U.S. soccer back home out of the round of 16, their earliest exit ever in this event, going for a three-peat. They had only ever reached at least the semifinals, and here they are, two rounds shy of that, being knocked out. A deserved result based on their group stage play, but not on the way they played yesterday against Sweden. And as they move forward, there's a lot of things to figure out, a lot of things to digest here. Most assume there's going to be a head coaching change. Vlatko Andonovski has overseen this program for a couple of years, and this is not the first disappointment. The last Olympics did not go well. In fact, I think they've only won 4 of the last 10 major tourneys they've been in, not all under him. Now, that's a pretty nice winning percentage, but it's not what the U.S. women's soccer program is used to. There are a lot of issues. I still know almost nothing about soccer, but I knew not to go back to Megan Rapinoe yesterday after the way she played in the previous round, and that was the second sub they made, and it did not go well. At 3 or 4 corner kicks that were never dangerous, and then, of course, the missed PK, and you heard Rapinoe discussing that at the end of your cold open. But as we move forward here, and even U.S. Soccer put the statement out yesterday that, you know, it's great that the rest of the world is now here and this event moves on, and that there's more competition and a deeper pool of teams and players. And that's my concern here this morning, because during group stage, watching those matches, it felt a lot like watching U.S. men's soccer, where they couldn't generate chances, or if they did, they couldn't convert them. They were struggling to beat lesser opponents or inferior opponents, or couldn't pull off the upset and get the job done. And now I'm back in that same area where I'm wondering if, because the rest of the world has caught up, the U.S. women's kind of head start has now vanished. And now the overall U.S. American soccer kind of infrastructure, from, you know, from being 8 years old all the way through feeding into the national team, if the shortcomings of that system, which have hamstrung the men's side, is now the problem on the women's side. And I know that there were injuries, significant players. Macario wasn't there. Mallory Pugh Swanson wasn't there. This Becky Sauerbrunn defensively, this was not the best U.S. women's soccer team they could have put out there, but they still should have been better in the group stage, had an easier round of 16 match. They should have flipped with the Netherlands, should have been playing South Africa, not Sweden, the number 3 team in the world, and it got to burn them yesterday. And they're in a place where they're going to have significant changes moving forward. Personnel-wise, Julie Ertz crying. She's likely done. Alex Morgan said post-match yesterday she hasn't decided anything yet, but she probably, at the very least, is not going to be one of the lead names, lead players 4 years from now. So there's a lot of young talent, a lot of underused talent, some other players who are not healthy right now who will circle their way back into this mix. It'll be a much different team moving forward, and probably with different leadership, and it's deservedly so, because this just flat out did not go well, did not go as expected, and did not figure things out fast enough, earlier enough, to avoid this really embarrassing result. And that's exactly what it is. And by the way, you can call this embarrassing, you can call this disappointing, you can call this not good enough. You can be plenty negative about this performance, because they've put themselves, with their previous success, they've set the highest of standards. And when they don't meet them, we absolutely should call them out on it. And we should explore why they didn't get there and what needs to be changed. Who needs to be changed? Whether it's the support staff, the technical staff, or it's the top guy in Andonovski, or it's everybody. Those are all valid questions, fair questions, and we'll get answers on them sometime soon. You can say all of those things without knocking this team. And I understand that they say things and they do things that you might not necessarily agree with, but that doesn't mean that they shouldn't have your support, especially when a lot of your argument is about patriotism, and now here you are celebrating a U.S. team losing a major sporting event. You don't like them complaining or talking or debating or fighting for the things that they think are wrong, but now you're sitting here celebrating, enjoying their defeat because you don't like certain things and you don't agree with certain things. At the very least, that makes you a hypocrite. It might make you worse things. Even the stupid chippy jokes about, oh, too many commercials, not enough goals. I don't understand those tweets, which are the first ones I saw yesterday when this match was over. When you write that, when you say that, are you saying that there were too many photo shoots, they weren't practicing soccer enough, and that's why Alex Morgan's header was saved yesterday on a diving play by the goalie? Like, that's that's her fault. I just, there's so much ridiculous back and forth, contradictory behavior, being hypocritical. It doesn't make any sense to me. And we should just be better. And we can be critical of them, and they deserve it. And there are questions, valid questions to ask, tough questions that deserve tough, thoughtful answers from them. But the petty stuff should be beneath us. It's not. I wish it was. I'm not surprised that it isn't. But we should kind of work to be a little bit better by that. And we are efforting, by the way, a soccer guest. Our friends at The Athletic are trying to find somebody that maybe even will be awake down under. I believe now we've crossed into past 10 o'clock p.m. Monday night down there. So hopefully before we're done, we'll have somebody discuss all of this better than me and Boyle. But we will certainly, if not today, then tomorrow, tackle this big subject. Because there's a lot of things to unpack from yesterday. And also, too, for this tournament moving forward. And P.S., one more soccer note, Messi scored 2 more goals last night. I think that's 7 in 4 games. They've all been Leagues Cup games, and I think not an actual MLS game yet, but another MLS opponent last night. And Inter Miami was actually losing for a little bit, and Messi scored 2 goals, and then in PKs to help them advance. It's just remarkable. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. It's Bogish, Bilotti, Boyle, Botcher, and Brooke, again with all the B's.
That's right.
That's how you're making schedules now?
Yeah, it's just B's.
Based on last names?
Alphabetical order.
Interesting. We go C next week?
Yeah. I got to find a bunch of C's.
Fair enough. When we come back, it's soundcheck. Jody Mack is involved, as is the...
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well, everything.
From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Packers GM. Together. Stay tuned for that. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Soundcheck on this Monday morning begins on Saturday night. I guess SummerSlam was last night in Detroit, Pete?
No, it was Saturday.
It was Saturday. And there was a Paul brother fighting Nate Diaz Saturday night as well.
That's right.
The third fight Saturday was my favorite. This Guardians White Sox, Jose Ramirez against Tim Anderson.
And the diving Vaughn down the right field line. Into the corner. Ramirez on his way to second. Head first slide. Safe and in to score is Jimenez. And another hustle double. Right over the bag at first. Now Jose and Anderson square off. They're fighting. They're swinging. Down goes Anderson. Down goes Anderson.
Tom Hamilton is the most famous baseball radio announcer right now because of this call. Down goes Anderson. Down goes Anderson.
Down goes Anderson!
It was, I think, 2 Mondays ago where it was me and Boyle and it was EJ Stewart and we were talking about a Cubs-Cardinals, Miles Michaelis hit Ian Happ after Ian Happ hit Wilson Contreras with his backswing. And EJ was very anti-violence. Me and Boyle were very pro-violence. I'm pro-violence again in this scenario. This is a heck of a fight. A lot of baseball fights are a lot of fake tough guys pushing and backing away and hold me back. This is a full-on fight. If you haven't seen this by now, I don't know what you've been doing for the last, 36, 48 hours. This video has been everywhere. It is Jose Ramirez sliding into second base through the legs of Tim Anderson. Anderson is in no rush to kind of step around Ramirez and give him freedom to get up. Ramirez says something from the ground, stands up, they push, they shove, and then they go, let's fight. And almost like in hockey style, Tim Anderson wiggles his glove off his left hand and puts up his dukes, and away they go. And then Ramirez catches him with a right hook in the left jaw, and down goes Anderson, down goes Anderson. That was just the beginning. Then there was more pushing and scrambling. They dragged Anderson off the field once, and then I think the Cleveland third base coach almost fought the White Sox manager. And while that was going on, Anderson came back onto the field and was literally picked up and now carried off the field by one of his teammates. Again, I'm going to be pro-violence in that. If you're going to fight, fight. And those guys fought. And even Terry Francona after the game said, you don't want to enjoy this or make light of it. But he loved Hamilton's call. And everybody loved the fight, even though it involved a dude getting knocked out. What was the nastiest fight you were in as a player? Well, I'm assuming at least once you were in a benches-clearing brawl.
Yeah. I was, and I'm trying to remember if that was college or if that was summer ball.
In the Northwoods League?
Yeah.
Well, or this week, two Thursdays ago. Didn't you always get into a fight in the Boomer Cherry softball game?
Flag football game. It wasn't really a fight. I kind of just lost my mind. I was bleep talking a bunch of 18-year-olds saying I'm in after I caught two touchdown passes.
That makes sense.
But that was about it. No, okay. I think there was a benches clearing kerfuffle one time in one of my college games, but again, nothing. It doesn't come of anything. No, there was a summer league one where somebody hit somebody. He like walked towards the mound. We all immediately jump out of the dugout, you know, waiting for action, testosterone riddled, and we kind of all just like come together in a scrum. And I just remember one of the coaches from the other team who was like tattoo sleeve, like probably big hog in his lip, like forearms massive for no reason. And he kind of just got in the middle, and he screamed at the top of his lungs, "Enough!" And we were just like, "Okay, time to go back to the dugout."
Well, I can see you also getting into one of those secondary brawls that happens after the main kerfuffle.
Yeah, those are good. Where all of a sudden, then the camera's like jerks over because something spills out on the edge of the brawl.
Bench player fighting with a coach.
No, I've never been in one of those.
Now, I'm sure you were all for this fight.
Absolutely. Need more fights in baseball. Need more fights. That was the best. That was the most exciting thing in baseball since Sosa versus McGuire.
But do we know why they started throwing punches?
So, not exactly. Ramirez said, you know, he's always been disrespecting the game for a long time now. So I still read it as he didn't like that he stood over him. But even though Ramirez slid in between his legs, rightfully so, Anderson was in regular position to take the throw.
Yeah, he didn't do anything out of the sorts.
I think maybe Ramirez wanted him to move faster so he could get up. He kind of just stayed there. But, yeah, I think Ramirez got unnecessarily upset to begin all this. Yes.
It was warming up the entire series. So there was an incident on Friday. I think a couple guys got ejected. And then earlier in the game, I think Tim Anderson was talking smack to one of the Guardians players on second base. The ump was like separating them. So it just reached the boiling point after Ramirez got to second, and he said, let's fight, and he didn't back down.
And he's had some issues before with other players.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's not surprising from his end that he's in another scuffle.
Yeah.
You know, but this was just, you know, as Ryan was saying, maybe brewing, but...
But even the brewing part, like...
Right.
So Ramirez slides into second, and he's just ready to fight. Like, something... In the moment, I think Anderson standing over him...
Said something.
Is what made him angry.
Or said something that we didn't see.
True. Yeah. And then Anderson was on Twitter yesterday, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 tweets in a row, almost presenting like a conspiracy theory. Like, I don't... Like, they're out to get me. And the last one was like, the picture bigger instead of the bigger picture. And that's my new favorite thing. The picture bigger.
Maybe he has CTE or concussion.
Well, I mean, that is what some people were saying. Like, is he actually still okay? Because, I mean, he was still wobbly coming off the field. When they were the first time ushering him off, his legs still kind of buckled every once in a while. Like, he was pretty messed up. So, on a serious note, there could have been something wrong with him still yesterday, but it was just a lot of random stuff, like, everyone's out to get me, and I'm keeping names, basically, and Okay.
Someone might want to take the phone away from him and let him take a little breather. And plus, another thing to add on top of the White Sox.
I mean, what a disaster. Awful. What a disaster.
I mean, Tony La Russa, yeah, that's one thing, but now it still continues. There's something majorly wrong in that organization. Might need to go to Ken Williams this time.
And you had the new Yankees reliever. Yes. What's his name? Wayne Middleton?
Keenan
Middleton?
Betcher?
You know, basically blowtorch them. I was going to do this in the update, but now since we're talking about it, blowtorch them. Said, yeah, there's a player who regularly falls asleep in the bullpen. Guys miss meetings all the time. The organization is a disaster.
I'm not right about a lot of things, but we were on the La Russa thing from the beginning. Uh-huh. And not that anybody else wasn't, but I mean, that was never going to work. And they tried to make it work and had no chance. And then when they gave this Pedro Grifol the job, like the baseball world loved it. You know, a lifer, it's about time. And he has not fixed anything. And Pete's right. Now you got to go over the top and start from the whole thing.
Not Ken Anderson. Ken Williams.
You said Ken Williams.
I did? Okay.
I thought you did, yeah.
this comes back to Jerry Reinsdorf being that probably too. One of the worst owners in the last 20 years of professional sports.
Yeah. But it might be time to change it up there.
Let's move on to Saturday earlier before the fight in Cleveland. Elsewhere in Ohio, we had the Football Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. Joe Thomas was the last speaker of the day. And here is Joe during his Hall of Fame speech taking shots at his good buddy Steve Johnson.
To my best friends growing up, Steve Johnson, you always kept me humble. You beat me out my senior year of high school for the Offensive Lineman of the Year in the Greater Metro Conference. Thanks for never letting me forget that. I guess I was just a harder worker than you in college because you ended up being a long snapper, and I'm standing up here with the gold jacket. I'll let you buy me a beer later.
There's some heat in there, is there not?
He was there too.
I know, and like I've heard this thing like three times, and I can't figure out if it's just a poorly delivered shot or like I guess I'm a harder worker than you is what keeps catching my ear.
It's all inside. That's all inside jokes right there.
Yeah.
It's all Joe Thomas has been having this relationship with him for years, and it's probably just another couple jabs.
Yeah, and you know the long snapper jokes, as we know well, write themselves.
Especially with some people in the audience.
That one caveat of, I guess I worked harder than you in college. I need to know what that backstory is, what that inside joke pertains to.
I think it's an inside shot at him. He probably didn't work as hard as the long snapper.
Yeah, maybe. Now, speaking of our favorite long snapper and his dad, I only saw a picture of Peter Schwartz with a Hall of Fame ring. I'm assuming that was Joe Klecko, but it was in a T-shirt, which I hope means Schwartz didn't go to a Klecko Hall of Fame party in a T-shirt.
I wouldn't put it past him.
I wouldn't, but he at least got himself near a Hall of Fame ring. But our quest on Friday was to see if he got himself into a Hall of Fame party, and I don't think he did, at least from what I saw on social media.
Yeah, the only parties I saw were the parties that Tiki attended to for Rondé. That's the only parties I saw.
I spent a strange amount of time seeing all those pictures and in the run-up to this, wondering in his heart of hearts how Tiki feels about all of this.
I'm sure he wants to be there.
No, of course. But like, can you go that entire weekend and not in any have any feelings about yourself and be like, I should be here or I was good or the Giants should love me more? Like,
no, not for him because of their relationship. Him and Rondé are so close.
Yeah.
It's not, I bet you if he thought about it, it was about maybe like a couple minutes, nothing major.
I also think it helps that they're twins.
Yes.
If Tiki was the older brother, because I think that's how I'm thinking of it, because my brother's younger than me, and if we had somehow both played professional anything, and I was as good as Tiki, but my brother had Rondé's career, and therefore he's going into Canton, I think every once in a while on that weekend, I don't know what the right word is.
It's just it's a natural thought to
like
have,
be like, reminded of, like, right. Maybe I could have done this or done that, or why isn't, like, no one's paying attention, not enough attention to me.
There's so many reminders. There's
right.
Busts in a Hall of Fame.
And it looks like you, crying out loud for Tiki. It's like, is that me? Is that who is that?
No, I think for Tiki's sake, I think there will be a push for Tiki now that Rondé's in. I think Rondé also In his speech, kind of alluding to that Tiki should be there. I think there will be a push for Tiki, and Tiki should be there.
Two other things on this. I don't know if this picture was real or not, and I to be honest, I did not watch the ceremony live Saturday, but I saw a picture of a barely like third full stadium as Joe Thomas was about to talk. I don't know if people ran out to get bathrooms and concessions in between speeches, but there's a picture from up above that showed almost nobody in that place preparing to listen to Joe Thomas.
It probably goes back to how hot it was.
Right, because it is during the day. They used to do it at night. When did they change it?
I don't remember. It might have just been this year or last year, because in recent years, I remember seeing speeches at night.
Right, in the dark, thinking this is the way to do it. Get me out of the heat. Yeah, like the stupid baseball one.
Look, I think, as I've said on this show before, I think the Pro Football Hall of Fame is the best of all the Hall of Fames. The process, the selection, what you get, the bus, all that. I think it's the best of all the Hall of Fames in terms of how they handle things. They need to find an indoor facility.
Well, especially they're only drawing 75 people.
Yeah.
You can get a VFW hall and call it a day. One other Hall of Fame note. I think you might know him too, Pete. Colin Cosell. The last name is obvious.
Yes.
He is one of the public address announcers at Citi Field and other places here in New York. I've known him from high school sporting event broadcasts. I've known him for years now.
Excellent guy.
Great guy. And his grandfather is Howard Cosell. And I didn't know this until Colin tweeted it yesterday, that Howard is not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
It's amazing, because they had that the Pete Rozelle Award.
Right. They have a media award.
And you would think he'd be there.
You could also make a case that he goes in as a contributor, because Monday Night Football is one of the most significant sports TV properties ever.
Mm-hmm.
And Howard Cosell is right in the reason for that being true.
You could also make a case that Howard Cosell should have a name on an award for the whole thing.
Right. And as Colin says, his grandfather was tough to deal with at times and burned bridges and whatever. But I would have bet a lot of money. For me, Pete would have bet like probably 75 full cents on this.
That's right.
That he was in the Hall of Fame for years. I couldn't believe that when I saw Colin's tweet yesterday. So that's something that needs to be rectified as soon as possible, because for whatever issues you have with Howard Cosell, there's no way to talk about the growth of football without discussing him and Gifford and Don Meredith on Monday Night Football.
And that's surprising. That's gotten past the committee that does. I don't know if the big committee does that award.
I don't think they do. I think those awards come from the Hall of Fame. There's got to be a committee for that too, but it's not the same selection process as the main players and coaches.
Howard Cosell, long overdue, should be there.
Yes. Now, last but not least, I think a young Howard Cosell did stats for Jody Mack when he was doing play-by-play of the original American Football Championship. But our good friend Jody Mack on the air on CBS Sports Radio this weekend and had to talk about Packers football and tried to show off saying the Packers GM's last name.
So let me ask you about roster building, because I just don't understand. I know the back and forth between Rodgers and your GM there, Gutekunst, that they just could never get on the same page. And everyone who's a Rodgers fan think Gutekunst was an idiot and terrible. And everyone who didn't like Aaron and his attitude stood up for Gutekunst. I was kind of in the middle. I thought that both of them at times made mistakes and both of them were jerks. But here's one where I can't explain Gutekunst's line of thinking.
Me neither.
I mean, whether or not he's saying it correctly.
Whoever he is.
But why does he say it four times in 7 seconds?
I think it's a defense mechanism. It's a way for him to say to feel like he's getting it right.
And poor Ryan B., who wasn't sure whether we could air that correctly or not, because it flirts with some pretty heinous language.
But it's in Jody's eyes, it's a name.
Yes.
And it's not like there were certain syllables left off of it.
Right. It could have been worse. It could have been very clearly the bad, bad, bad word.
Correct.
It was four times, though.
Right. And that, like, as you texted me, why did he do it four times in 3 seconds? I mean, that's the question. Like, you do that when you master Adetokounmpo, then you just start saying it to like show off. But he's showing off and he's got it wrong, I think.
Maybe he just wants to say it like that.
I don't know. And we still don't even know the right way to say it, because the Packers have it said one way and the people who know him say it a different way. There is no right answer.
Brian Gutekunst.
Exactly.
Gutekunst.
But you gotta, at this point, you can't, you gotta go Gunty, my man. I mean, that's just, that's actually the way to do it, is you have
Gunty,
to.
Gunty, my man.
You gotta shorten it.
Gunty. You Gunty got, for short.
You gotta, exactly, you gotta make it your own.
Gunty, whatever, Gunty.
As awkward as it might be, but also space it out. You
Brian
don't.
Gunter Kunst.
You don't need to say that over and over and over and over and over again.
For our sake, yes.
Right, or keep doing it.
Mr. GM, call him.
The yeah. Packers GM.
Yeah.
Mr. G.
Mr. G.
Mr. GM.
Hockey has this weird nickname thing. Like George McPhee used to be the GM in Washington, the Capitals, and they called him GM, General Manager George McPhee. Somebody else. So we could call him like GBGM. We could call him something like that, or GB. Yeah, GBGM or GBBG. Or just BG. Let's call him BG. That's easy. Done. And now we're not flirting with danger.
That's
right?
Fine with me.
Because even Gunty or Gunty is probably wrong.
I think it's definitely wrong.
But keep doing it, Jody. And get that number straight.
Right.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. It's time for headlines, I think. He's typing furiously to my left. If you're ready, Boyle.
I am ready. I was just tweaking, making sure everything was nice and spick and span in there and looking perfect.
Did you get the sound you're looking for?
No.
Okay.
No, we did not do that, but I will not comment on that. But yeah, Sunday Night Baseball last night at Petco. The Dodgers wasted no time beating up on poor old Dick Hill.
And now the 3-2. And a high fly ball to right. It's deep and it's on its way. And Freddie Freeman with a 3-run home run. And the Dodgers are doing damage to their former teammate, Rich Hill. They are beating him to a pulp.
They did beat him to a pulp. That's Dodgers radio. 3-run bomb on a little cement mixer breaking ball for Freddie Freeman. That made it 6-0 in the second inning. Dodgers cruise to an 8-2 win. Padres now 3 games back of the Reds. And that's right, the Cubbies for the final and a wild card spot. They actually play again today, by the way. I did a quick Google search, and I couldn't find an answer. I don't know if that's a makeup game or just bizarre scheduling.
Padres-Dodgers wraparound?
Yeah, 4-10.
So, Padres on the loose. Let's go, Goose. That's what's in.
Now, do the Mets do that this weekend with the Braves, too? It's not abnormal to have that wraparound series, and it's in San Diego. Has there been a rainout in San Diego?
That's what
in recent memory?
I went there 2 weeks ago. It rained the first day I was there, and it probably rains 10 days out of the year.
Right. Part of the scheduling I don't like anymore is the wraparound weekend series that they've been doing. And especially the series that end before Sunday. Those have been horrible.
And they do play again later this year, and both of them, if I'm not mistaken, both of them have an off day before the Friday, Saturday, Sunday series starts. So why wouldn't you just make that a four-game series?
I'm looking at it right now, and it doesn't mention that this is a rainout, so I think this is just the series.
That's weird. Anyway, yeah. other late games from yesterday, somebody break up the A's. They sweep the 2-game Battle of the Bay against the Giants, winning yesterday 8-6. That is so. They came from behind to score the final 5 runs. In Anaheim, Eugenio Suarez's franchise record 10-game RBI streak came to an end on Saturday. But he went right back to delivering yesterday.
3 balls, 2 strikes. Barria set. Here's his pitch. Swung on. Smoked. Left field line. Down for a base hit. Ty France screaming around third base. He's being waved in. He will score standing. Julio into third. And he is out at third.
Mariners radio. Go ahead RBI single in the 10th. The M's pull off the 4-game sweep of the Angels. 3-2 the final in extras. Pete and Bogish. Maybe the Mets made the right move because they've lost 6 in a row and they sold. And the Angels tried to buy for Ohtani, and they've lost 6 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Marone.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Mets have gone from...
They're a triple-A ball club.
I mean, literally at the flip of the deadline. Like, you could have made the case, like, okay, there's a chance where they could maybe make a run. They're not that good. And now they are useless.
This is a stretch of the baseball season. I don't like to bet on baseball a lot, but this is a stretch where you bet against the Mets every day. Until they prove otherwise. They're playing the Cubs now, starting tonight.
They got
Cubs,
nothing.
We'll talk about the Cubs in a second. They are red hot. And then they play the Braves this weekend, who own them.
Yep.
Money line and red line every day this week, Pete. Give you something to at least, you know, watch for.
That's
Is
right.
this an official, whatever these, you're betting conglomerate?
BB Boys, The PB boys. The PB
like
boys.
Yes.
We never put together a home run parlay the other day, by the way.
No, we should. We got to do that on Tuesdays.
Okay. All right.
On Tuesday. He's not here on Tuesday. How about Wednesday?
We'll do it on Wednesday.
Are you here Wednesday?
I am here Wednesday.
Okay.
All right. A couple more quick things because I got to get out of here. I know they played early afternoon yesterday, so I'm only mentioning them because, again, they're the hottest team in baseball. The Cubbies cannot lose. 6-4 over the Braves yesterday. It's their sixth straight series win. They're 15-4 in their last 19 games. And Cody Bellinger may be the hottest man on earth. He is good looking, but he has an OPS of almost 1,200 since July. WNBA yesterday, possible WNBA finals preview, and boy, did the Liberty make a statement, blowing out the defending champion Las Vegas Aces 99-61. Sabrina Ionescu went off for 31 points. The Liberty outscored Vegas 50-17 in the second half. We'll recap the other scores from yesterday, but really quickly, golf, Lucas Glover won the Wyndham Championship at 20 under. Poor Justin Thomas, he needed to finish inside the top 10 this weekend to qualify for the FedEx playoffs. They had him projected at 71st out of 70 as he hit his tee shot on the 18th hole yesterday. He had a birdie chip from like maybe 50 yards out that lipped out, and he ends up missing it by one stroke. So he is not going to be in the playoffs. So poor Justin Thomas. Finally, Women's World Cup. We were watching it before. The satellite dish has been blacked out yet again, but the England women overcome playing with 10 women. A red card in the 87th minute. They hold on. They beat Nigeria in penalties. They're moving on to the quarterfinals.
How about that?
And right now, Australia and Denmark scoreless in the 15th minute.
That red card was for stepping on a Nigerian player who was down on the turf. Good times. No fights, though, after that.
Was it a stomp?
It was not a stomp. It was a step on. She didn't. It was not forced down, but she walked over her back to get back into play.
That's as bad.
Yeah, and apparently it doesn't matter the intent or the force. You just can't walk on somebody, so it was a pretty easy red card.
Really?
Yeah.
You can't walk on anybody.
And we're all learning soccer. That's another rule right now. You can't walk on your opponent.
I think that'd be the first thing in the rule book.
We are just getting going on this Monday morning. Again, no DA all this week, but at least you get him in another form or fashion. He's got the Jim Rome show for you, noon to 3 Eastern here on most of these same stations and on CBS Sports Network, Monday through Thursday. DA is doing that. We're back in just a second on the DA show on CBS Sports Radio. Handing the waiter, the waitress, a 32-ounce Yeti, and they're bringing it back full with whatever I asked for.
Oh, because it's all-inclusive. They just fill up whatever you give them.
Exactly.
Wowie.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Now, I don't know if Pete played that on purpose because he knows that the wife and I just booked that same trip again for February.
Oh, the Dave Matthews trip?
A little weekend in Cancun.
I've never seen somebody go on so many trips.
So here comes that Yeti again to be handed off to great wait staff and be brought back with my Fresca and vodka.
Wowie.
Exactly. See you guys later. Super Bowl, a couple of days of post-show, and then I'm out.
More like yummy.
See you later. It's another show minus DA, Andrew Bogish, Pete, Ryan, Boyle, Brooke. We're all here with you. You've got to still, we've been doing this for a while now, but please still be patient as I figure out how to beat DA from top to bottom. On Friday, didn't leave enough time to read through all of your Target Demo Friday responses, and there were a lot of them, which we appreciate. And there was one in particular that I wanted to mention. It came in pretty quickly, so it got lost in the shuffle by the time we got to 9:30, 9:45 Eastern on Friday. But when we had our old-timey baseball fun with Jody, Wednesday or Thursday, the name Smedley Hoover was presented once again, I think by Pete. Boyle brought us Pebbles Dunkerson.
And whatever became of little Smedley Hoover?
And DA asked for Twitter handles with those names involved.
Oh, we got one.
And we did get, now, this is a regular person who changed like the headline to Smedley Hoover Gone Incognito. I believe that's originally Incognito Man who flipped it.
I would think so, yes.
But he was listening via Morse code in Wisconsin. And he thinks Jody Mack should take the Pony Express and trade some trinkets for Long Island.
Good morning.
What do you want?
We'd like to get a room, please.
All right.
So as always, you guys do not disappoint. You take your cues well. and you come through for us with Smedley Hoover.
Thank you very much. That made my day.
Yeah, and stay tuned because it's only Monday. God knows where we're going to go with Jody and time travel between now and Friday.
I want him on American Bandstand next.
You know what? I could see Jody as like the bass player in like some kind of 50s rock band.
Yes, sure. Tambourine player.
You see tambourine?
That or like he's just the guy that dances on stage.
Right next to Dick Clark.
See, I think more... I'm thinking bass. It's like cool, subdued. He's got you can use the hat that he had as the umpire hat in the Target Mobile Friday meme. And he's just standing there, like nodding his head, strumming the bass, and maybe a little swivel. That's how I see Jody in a rock band.
Like ZZ Top?
Sure.
Long beard.
Yeah.
I could have also seen him in early Madonna's.
Okay, I'm listening.
As the one that's like. You're expecting a different look for Madonna's group. Like, he's the one that's the bass player that's the one that looks totally different than the group.
I
can see that.
Madonna had a bass player to look like Jody Mac?
Maybe, I don't know.
Because he can't be a backup dancer.
Or somebody like that from the 80s that you wouldn't expect Jody to be with.
We may expand on that. We will definitely get to college expansion. As the Pac-12 is about to go bye-bye, that's how we begin hour two of the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're thinking it.